Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in. We are making a connection as we speak with our guest today, having a little technical problems, but we have him on the phone now. All
yes.
Right. You know, one of the seemingly best kept secrets in health is what is good for the body is also good for the brain. That's right. Brains can become sick, malnourished, dehydrated, even underused. The results are illnesses that manifest themselves as loss of concentration, fading memory, destructive habits, psychosis, even Alzheimer's. Today we discover that what we eat, what we watch, and how we use our brains can affect its health in some rather profound ways. Our guest is someone who should know a thing or two about brains because, believe me, he uses his constantly. Dr. Hans Diehl is an epidemiologist and founder director of the Coronary Health Improvement Project, commonly known as CHIP, based in Loma Linda, California. I've asked him to join us today on Simple Solutions to talk about how we can nurture and improve the quality of that gray matter sloshing around between our ears. Dr. Diehl, am I right in saying that the health of our bodies might have an impact on the health of our brains?
Yeah, there's a very tight synergy. You know, what affects the body affects the brain. What affects the brain affects the body. Yes, they're very intimately connected, much more so than we've ever thought.
You know, you mentioned in your book, Health Power, of this text, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What was the message you're trying to get across with that text?
Well, when the Bible talks about what a man thinketh in his heart, you know, in those days, I guess we didn't know that the body was directed by the brain. Mm-hmm. Because nobody had really opened up, I guess, a skull to explore what was going on there. And so the heart, on the other hand, was something palpable. It was beating, and that heart could speed up with different emotions, that it could slow down when a person's melancholic and so on. And so in those days, one perceived the heart as the area where the thinking took place, but it really refers to the brain. How a man thinks in his brain, you know, in his innermost soul, that's what we are. And that's what directs us, and that directs our body and bodily motions.
Now, those who attend the Coronary Health Improvement Project, before we go any further, tell us what that is. What is the Coronary Health Improvement Project? And then I'm going to ask you a question about the brain. But what is that project right now?
Well, when you take the four initial letters of Coronary Health Improvement Project, you come up with the abbreviation CHIP, C-H-I-P, right? And the CHIP program is not something that pushes potato chips or chocolate chips.
Or corn chips.
Or electronic chips or so. But rather, it is trying to help us to perhaps gain some distance from these kind of chips. Because we recognize that the brain and the body, those 200 trillion cells, need to be nourished in order to function well. And what you put into your system becomes you. I mean, just think about this. Within the data is sometimes from 1 to 7 years. From 1 to 7 years, the whole body, all the cells in the bodies, begin to rejuvenate and to replace themselves. They're brand new. So when you are looking at a skeleton today, and you're looking at the same skeleton in 4, 5, 6 years, you probably have a brand new skeleton. The old bones are all gone. They have been replaced by new ones in order to give it the elasticity that it needs because, you know, it wears out. When you look at red blood cells after 120 days, they're gone. You know, you have new ones coming in. Right. And so if you can understand, if we can wrap our heads around this kind of a concept, that we have new bodies emerging periodically, you know, at different levels of time duration, sometimes within, you know, 7 days you have new cells, and sometimes 120 days for the red blood cells, and the skeleton probably 1 to 5 years. When you begin to realize that, then it makes a lot of sense to pay some attention in putting the very best and the most nutritious foods into our system, to get into an exercise, and to think elevated thoughts, because how we think, again, has an effect on the immune system in fighting disease.
This is rather profound. When I heard you say this a number of years ago, I've talked to you on a number of cases. When I heard you tell this little illustration here, it had a profound effect on me, because I realized that if I'm going to build health in my body, if I'm going to build a body that's healthy, I need to have the right building materials. It must have been a time when I was building a house at that time, and I realized how important
yes.
those materials are.
Yes,
and, you know,
right.
I have to live in this house for these 30, 40 years. I have to live in this body for these, hopefully, 100 years. I want to make sure it's good and built well. But, Dr. Deal, doesn't the body have the capability of making good from bad? If you eat a cheeseburger, doesn't it go in there and take out the good stuff and build just good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff?
That's sort of a state of nirvana that you're describing there. I mean, you know, I mean, you can do anything you want to do, and hopefully there's something good in there. But, you know, when you take a look, let's say, at a piece of cheese, since you're mentioning that, you know, when you look at that cheese, it's I was born after World War II in Germany, and we had absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing. And if my mother would go to the little store at the corner there of the street, she would buy maybe 200 grams of cheese, some special Dutch cheese, Gouda cheese. You know, there were probably two or three slices. And we were three children at home. And, you know, those two slices, they were just, I mean, everybody got a small piece. And we switched it around our mouth many, many, many times before we swallowed it. It was sort of that special treat, right?
Yeah.
And so exactly. I'm not really making a big issue here about a little bit of cheese. But, you know, the way we, for instance, eat cheese today, it's everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Because we don't know what to do with all the cheese. And so the cheese is being pushed into anything at very, very low cost because we have to get rid of it. Because sitting in these warehouses and it costing us millions of dollars just in keeping these warehouses cool and so on and so forth. So now, when you look at cheese a little bit closer, You just said, well, isn't the body bringing out the best and the good that is there? Well, let's think about this. When you look at a piece of cheese, taste, for most people, exceptional. They love it.
Yes.
But then you look at what else is there. Well, about 70% of the calories in that piece of cheese is fat. Now, fat is not going to help us, right? We are already a fat nation. Adding more fat to our body doesn't help us, number one. Number two, the kind of fat that you have in cheese is largely saturated fat. Now, we all know that saturated fat causes the liver to go into overdrive in producing cholesterol, and that cholesterol cells in our arteries. So now this is then promoting atherosclerotic disease process or narrowing of the arteries, right? So
okay, did I lose him or did he lose me? What's going on, engineer? All right, Dr. Deal is a little bad connection there. He's out in Loma Linda. We're going to try to make that connection back again. I love what he's saying here. This is important stuff. We'll reconnect with him. He's talking about the fallacy, and I think this is probably a good term for it, that the body is able to make good from bad. You've heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. That's exactly what we have here in this case. What we put in our bodies is not reconstructed as good. If we put bad stuff in our bodies, it ends up as bad stuff in our bodies, and there's not a whole lot the body can do. And he was talking about cheese, how there's not a lot of good stuff in there. There's an example, and when we get him back, I want to tell him about this too. There's an example of, for instance, wine. Some people say wine is good for you. Well, there is something good in wine. I have to say this. There's something good in wine, and that is antioxidants from the grapes. But you know what? When you drink that bottle of wine, you have all that alcohol content, all that fermentation, which is not good for you. And
I'm back.
Is he back with us? Okay, Dr. Deal. I was just telling people that, you know, that the case for cheese is very strong, but how about the case for wine? I've heard, Dr. Deal, that when you drink wine, you have a lot of good antioxidants in there. Isn't the body bringing something good from that something bad? Oh, we lost him again. Oh, my goodness. Let's see if we can make this connection again. I'll just continue here. The point we're trying to make is this. Sure, there may be a little touch of something good in something bad, but if you have the bad overpowering the good, that little good is not going to do a whole lot of good for you, and that's what I think what he's the message here. So when you eat that cheeseburger, Dr. Deal, there may be a few grams of goodness from maybe the bread, but aren't we overpowering the good with the bad?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to recover from being in total darkness here in my office as we had a big power failure here in Southern
California.
Oh, power
failure. Okay.
That's right. That's right. So now I'm back, and I hope we can continue our thought. We talked about cheese, right, sort of as an example. Not to pick on any particular food item, but just as an example, and we said that 70% of the calories in cheese comes from fat and largely saturated fat. Furthermore, it's fairly high in salt, and salt is not in our best interest because we're taking probably about 10 times more salt than the body needs, and so we have to worry about hypertension, high blood pressure, strokes, and all these kind of things. And, you know, then you have also cholesterol in there, which doesn't really help us, and cheese has absolutely no fiber, which the body needs. So, you know, you begin to realize that, well, what are the things that the body can extract from that is good? We are then beginning to realize we have to find foods that are nutritionally giving us optimal extraction power. If the body can bring something good out of something, then we should have foods that have the most amount of that kind of a goodness. And that's usually found...
Well, let's hold that thought right there. I want to hold our people in suspense a little bit, Dr. Deal, because you've opened a door here. If there is bad, and bad comes from bad, we need to do good. What's good? Because what's good for our bodies, listener, is absolutely good for our brains, because our brains are part of our body. A lot of people don't make that connection, but it's true. So let's find out when we return. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
Did you know that hypertension is sometimes called the silent killer? Hypertension or high blood pressure damages the body, and sometimes we don't even know this is occurring. What's happening is the blood's rushing through our body at very fast speeds. It can damage our heart, our blood vessels in the brain, or even blood vessels in our kidneys. This can lead to heart attacks and strokes and aneurysms and kidney disease. Some people don't even realize they have it. One of the things I want you today is get your blood pressure checked. A fancy device called a sphygmomanometer is used to check your blood pressure. One of the things we can do is lower our blood pressure. It might be by lowering our stress, but the first step in treating blood pressure is recognizing you have it. Get your blood pressure checked today.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome to Happy Hank's Hamburger Heaven. May I take your order?
Let me have a double cheeseburger, no onions, medium fries, and a Diet Sprite. Plus, I'm lost. I need some directions if you can help me.
Thank you. That's a double cheeseburger minus the onions, medium fries, Diet Sprite, and enrollment in the Discover Bible Course.
I'm sorry, what?
The Discover Bible Course. You said you wanted directions in life.
No, just to the 101 freeway.
I know. But this is even better. With a Discover Bible Course, you'll know where you're going for eternity. You'll never be lost again. You'll drive down the freeway with a whole new purpose in life.
Okay, I'll try it.
That comes to $4.72 for the food. The Discover Bible Course is free. Please pay at the window.
Thanks.
For your own set of personal directions to eternal life, call 775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Hans Diehl, founder director of the Coronary Health Improvement Project. He's talking to us from sunny Southern California, Loma Linda University area. He lives just down the street from that austere organization. And as a matter of fact, sometimes when I'm talking to him, he'll hear helicopters fly over on the way to the helipad there to bring in trauma victims. It's a pretty busy place. Dr. Diehl, we're making the connection here today on Simple Solutions between the health of our bodies and the health of our brains. And you said before the break that there are foods that really are not in our best interest for body health and brain health, which means there must be foods that are in our best interest. Tell us what those foods are and why they're good for us.
You know, particularly when it comes to overall body function and, in particular, brain function, there's probably nothing more essential than to have adequate hydration. Water. Water is absolutely essential. When level of hydration changes even by 3-4% in the brain, the brain can no longer function quite correctly, and there may be a loss of concentration. There can be confusion. You might even slur your words, all because you are not bringing enough water, liquid, into your system. So, and when I talk about liquids, I'm not talking about coffee, okay? Because caffeine actually removes water from the body. It's a diuretic. I'm talking about simple water. You talk about simple solutions. We need to drink more water. We need to take more water in. 8, 9, 10 glasses of water a day would be an excellent way to go. Now, if that is some herbal tea and so on, that's fine too, and all of this kind of counts. But water is probably one of the best things. But furthermore, we need to probably, for exceptional brain power, utilizing what we have, and having a good body to undergird it, we need to have more fresh fruits. We need to have more fresh vegetables. And by the way, the more color you have with fresh fruits and vegetables, usually the more nutritional value and the more nutrients you will have there. So go for color. Okay. And then number three, we need to eat more whole grain products. Whole grains, whole, why whole? Because whole grains have more of the fiber that the body needs. Americans, again, probably only get about 10 to 12 grams of fiber. Should probably have 30, 40, 50 grams of fiber. And when you have this, then you don't have to worry about constipation, all these kind of things, which again can affect the brain. Isn't that interesting? You're constipated, absolutely. You feel pressure there, and all of a sudden, things don't quite work upstairs either. I mean,
yeah,
that's
true.
That's right. And then fourthly, I think, I just came back from a medical conference, and they talked about the importance of more beans, lentils, and peas in our diet, because they're very high in what they call soluble fiber. It's an excellent source of non-animal protein. It's loaded with nutrients, and it's very inexpensive, especially when you don't buy them in cans, but you buy them as dry beans, and you put them into a crock pot at night, you know, put some water and turn it on, let it work overnight, and the next morning, or the next day, it's ready to be eaten. So, you know, these are the four things probably. We need to eat more fresh fruits, more fresh vegetables, probably should eat more whole grain products, and not forget those humble beans that are really, really, they should be accorded a royal title.
Yes, yes. Now, before we leave this one section here, talking about water here, Dr. Diehl, some people will say, well, I think I get enough water. Is there an indicator somehow other than counting the glasses you drink in a day that can tell you whether you're getting enough water or not?
You know, I have been on some programs with you before, and I suspect I know exactly what you're driving at. And I'll let you give
this
the answer to that one.
This is important, because a lot of people say, I don't have time to count my glasses. I get a little sip here in the hallway. I get a little glass before I go out. There's got to be a way of knowing this.
You know, I had a professor years back, and he was talking to a group of high school students, and he talked about the importance of water. And so the kids asked him, how do you know you have enough water? And he said, make sure that your urine has no color. It should be, just like water, sort of.
Uh-huh,
if it has
right.
yellow color, you don't drink enough water. The urine should not be having any color. And the next day, the principal called him up and he said, sir, you know what you did? The kids are watching the other guy's urine now.
You need water, they're saying.
I see. That's right.
That's good to know, Doctor. That's good to know because, yes, we've talked about this before.
I think we should mind our own.
Measuring this.
Yeah, we should mind our own, right?
That's right.
Leave your neighbor alone.
Check your own urine. I think this is very important. If you're at Walmart and you're in there and someone has yellow, just leave it alone. Don't go there at all. Okay. All right. So clear urine is the secret. If you have clear urine, you're getting enough hydration. If it's turning color, you need to add some more water to you, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
It's a very simple test.
Just make sure. Okay. Now, Dr. Deal, you kept mentioning fiber, how important fiber was in this. I know you are a fiber promoter. What is fiber got to do with the brain?
Well, how do we explain this? I already mentioned to you that you have constipation. You seem to feel like you have an obstructed brain.
Right.
How can we explain that?
The blood supply, does it have anything to do with the blood supply, the blood getting to the brain, the ability of the blood to get to the brain? We know about hardening of the arteries and fiber is able to clean out arteries of the heart. Is it also true with the brain? Is there a fiber cleaning mechanism that helps the brain get more blood?
Well, we probably need to take a closer look at the blood issue, right? We need to talk about having thick blood versus thin blood. And you know that when people develop heart disease, usually the physician provides some aspirin to thin down the blood.
Right.
Or sometimes people get a more powerful drug called heparin or Coumadin to thin down the blood so it gets easier through those arteries. Now, why do they do this? They do it because our blood oftentimes is fairly sludgy, and that has to do with our high-fat diet. When you have a high-fat diet, it causes these red blood cells that are being transported through the bloodstream and taken to every one of your cells in order to deliver the oxygen, because cells are dependent on oxygen. So when these red blood cells are being surrounded by a high-fat diet, they begin to sludge. They seem to cling together. They seem to aggregate. And when they aggregate, obviously, they're just like little chunks floating through these small blood vessels, like capillaries the size of or smaller than our hair. And so they can no longer travel as easily there and bring the oxygen where it is needed. And so when that happens to the heart, then you have some hypoxia, or not enough oxygen being delivered to the cells of the heart. And these cells begin to cry out, help, I need more oxygen. I'm starving down here. Send me some more oxygen. And that's then usually called angina pectoris, angina pain.
Yeah.
So the thickness of our blood has a lot to do with disease processes. And we, of course, then have to ask the question, now, why can't these red blood cells, even if they're a little bit chunky, why can't they get through these blood vessels? And again, we need to begin to think in terms of there's a process called atherosclerosis, a narrowing of the moderate to large vessels in our body. And as these vessels become filled like a sheath on the inside with this plaque buildup of fat and cholesterol and calcium, they become as hard as glass. And as a matter of fact, these arteries now begin to lose the elasticity. And you know that about every second some blood is rushing through. We call this our pulse. Right?
Yes.
It's rushing through.
Yes.
Shh, shh, shh. And that means when that blood rushes at that particular through that area, the blood vessel opens up the elasticity is there. It kind of opens up and then it contracts again. It opens up and contracts again. And that's what we usually measure with systolic and diastolic blood pressure, right? Up and down, mm-hmm. up and down. Now, when we develop this atherosclerosis, it's a process that begins when we are about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age. And by the time we are 20 years of age, we already have 20% narrowing of the coronary arteries.
Wow.
When that happens,
mm-hmm.
when that happens, blood someday may no longer go through it because there may be a thrombus, a blood clot. And that means the blood can no longer reach the heart muscle. The heart muscle is oxygen deprived, and it depends on oxygen, and it dies. And we call this a myocardial infarction or a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, the interesting thing is that this process of atherosclerosis is the number one disabling disease in America. It is the foundation of most of our chronic diseases, diseases that come to us after 50 years of age. And what's very important is that this chronic atherosclerotic plaque buildup happens in all the major arteries in our system. Now, do you have any idea how many? Yeah, I guess you probably would. You know that we have about 60,000 miles of blood vessel yeah. in one body. Now, mind you, most of these are very, very, very tiny vessels, but let's just deal with the larger ones. Again, you have a fairly large system of moderate to large arteries, and when they mm-hmm. become narrowed, you no longer receive or get the oxygen where it's needed and the nutrients. And let me tell you something. The brain is no exception. It's not just mm-hmm. the heart. It's not just the legs. It's not just the kidneys, but it's also the brain that is totally dependent on oxygenated blood. And when that oxygenated blood doesn't reach the brain at the proper amount, the brain begins to deteriorate. It can no longer function. And ultimately, some of these vessels to the brain and inside of the brain begin to crack. The blood pressure goes up. The vessels are no longer elastic. They're no longer like rubber bands, and they begin to burst. And that's what we call a stroke, because the blood now spills into the cerebral cavity and you know, puts pressure on certain portions of the brain, and that's what we call a stroke, paralysis, yeah. speech loss, and these kind of things. So it is very, very, very important that we keep the arteries to the brain and into the brain in top running condition. You do this how you choose to live, whether you smoke, whether you exercise, and particularly kind of foods that we eat.
Wow. Well, that was a very, very clear explanation of what's going on there. And listener, I think that you have been enlightened, as I am always when I talk to this man. We'll take a short break and talk more about our brain health on our return. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Deal, here's the number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Melody Carlson, the author of the True Color series for teens. One of my favorite Bible passages is James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I memorized this scripture as a teen, and sometimes it feels like I'm still trying to get it down. I don't know about you, but my first reaction is to cringe when I see hard times coming, or to just hide. And yet these verses suggest I do the happy dance instead. If I look back over my life, I can see a pattern. I can see that God has used some tough times to grow me up, like being hurt to learn forgiveness and understanding, or being pushed to the limits to learn patience. So I begin to accept that trials really are for my own good, and okay, maybe I don't actually do the happy dance every time I see a trial coming, but I've learned not to run the other way either.
Bible for Life is brought to you by the English Standard Version. Visit us at BibleForLife.org.
Hello, this is Bill Perkins with 1 Minute for Men. We've all taken a bullet or two. Friends, family members, and business associates have said and done things that wounded us. In most instances, the wound ricocheted off our skin, leaving only a scratch. No big deal, we said. But on a few occasions, the bullet pierced deep and left a gaping hole. Because the pain persists, forgiveness isn't easy to extend. When I think of the wrongs I've suffered, it helps to remember what Jesus endured. Evil men conspired against him. They falsely accused him. They illegally tried him. They spat in his face. They beat him, tortured him, and killed him. And yet he forgave them. As Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." If Jesus could forgive such evil committed against him, how could I withhold forgiveness? I'm convinced the better a man knows Jesus, the better he forgives. I'm also convinced a man is never more like Jesus than when he forgives. Join the movement. Visit BillPerkins.com.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
And welcome back to the program. Dr. Jennings is traveling today, and he has asked Dr. Hans Diehl, founder director of the Coronary Health Improvement Project, better known as CHIP, to step in and fill his slot today, and we appreciate that. Dr. Diehl is giving us some amazing insights into how this body works and how it is connected so directly with the brain. If you want to know a little bit more about the Coronary Health Improvement Project, and you should if you're interested in health, here's the website, www.chiphealth.org. Check it out, www.chiphealth.org. You can find lots of good resources. Discover if a coronary health improvement project is coming to an area near you. It's a lifestyle enhancement program, I guess. 21-day. Very, very good stuff. And also, there's links there for Dr. Diehl's resources. He has endless, wonderful resources on nutrition and recipe books and how to live a healthy, happy life. And you can listen to programs of the CHIP Health Program, which comes, by the way, on the Life Talk Radio Network on Wednesdays from 5 to 6 Eastern Time, 2 to 3 California Time. I recommend that you tune in to listen to Dr. Diehl and his guests talk about you and your health. That's Wednesdays from 5 to 6 here on the Life Talk Radio Network. But right now we have him right here with us today on Simple Solutions. Dr. Diehl, you mentioned the need of the brain to get oxygen, and a lot of people just don't quite get that. They think, well, my organs need it, but not necessarily my brain. But you're saying the brain needs oxygen. Let's talk a little bit more about what the brain needs. Go ahead, Dr. Diehl.
Well, I think that oxygen is the key element for all of our cells, and the brain is no exception. So, for instance, if there is inadequate oxygen delivery to the brain because of these vessels that are on the side of your neck are being obstructed by atherosclerosis, then the brain no longer can activate its cells. For instance, if you have memory cells, cells that store all the information from the time you were born, when inadequate oxygen is being supplied to these cells, when inadequate nutritional value is delivered to those cells and they can no longer function at optimal levels, you have to now put up with memory loss. You have to put up with senility, which is a little bit different from Alzheimer's, but it's probably related because we think that one-third of what we consider to be Alzheimer is probably atherosclerosis affecting the vessels in the brain, and they develop microscopic strokes. So they develop little strokes, and the more little strokes you have, even though you don't realize it, it knocks out certain portions of the memory banks up there. And so you see a very close relationship now between blood supply and memory function, right? Now, similarly, there is a lot of good research that's coming out that is suggesting that if you don't bring adequate blood supply and nutritionally adequate blood and oxygen enriched blood to the frontal lobe of the brain, this is sort of right behind your forehead, right? This is a very large portion of the brain. It's called the frontal lobe. When that frontal lobe is not properly nurtured, something happens. You know, the frontal lobe is sort of the symphonic conductor of the whole brain. It's a frenzy driver. Everything in the back, for instance, where information, for instance, is stored, where intelligence is kind of related there. When the front driver is not engaged, the whole brain is like there's a lot of noise. But when the symphonic conductor is engaged, the noise turns into music. It orders things. It brings a harmony to the brain. It balances things out. This is the frontal lobe is where the responsibility resides, where judgment resides. For instance, when you use alcohol, that's the first part that's knocked out. See?
Wow.
So you don't
wow.
quite have the optimal judgment anymore. That's where religion and spirituality and altruism, you know, serving your neighbor rather than being egocentrically only oriented about yourself, you know, these kind of, well, faith and spiritual values, responsibility,
yeah.
this is all centered in the frontal lobe. And when you have inadequate blood supply, inadequate oxygenation to the frontal lobe, it begins to slow down, is no longer as acutely responding to surrounding needs. And so, you know, hardening takes place, hardening of the attitudes.
Heart. Oh, yes.
Not just hardening of the arteries, but also hardening
yeah.
of the attitudes as a result of hardening of the arteries. And so how we then live, how we eat, whether we smoke or not, has a lot to do in how we nurture the brain. And then the brain, in turn, especially the frontal lobe, now can become affected in directing us appropriately so that we have a well-balanced life and we are not just I-oriented, but we become we-oriented. And I just came back from a conference where they talked about this, and they said, when you are I-oriented, it stands for illness. I starts illness, but
yes.
When you're we-oriented, it spells wellness. Illness, wellness. I,
yes.
we, you see? Uh-huh. And the frontal lobe, the brain, has a lot to do in shaping those kind of attitudes, and thus has an impact on our happiness in life. Because I'm of the old school that happiness is not something that you can pursue. I mean, you can drive for happiness. You know, you see it in Hollywood all the time. As long as they get their name in print, even if it's scandalous behavior, it doesn't matter. They feel happy because they see their name in print and somebody talks about them. But deep
yeah.
inside, this is not providing what a stable sense of well-being, right? So happiness is not something that you can pursue. Happiness is something that comes to you unawares, as you give, as you do something nice to someone else, as you are a gentle person towards an aggressive person, you know, all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, it's coming back to you in spades.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said to me, you know, you give one tablespoon to God, you know, in loving service, and you get a shovel full back in happiness. You know, it's that kind of an idea.
Okay.
We need to think about that a bit more, because all of this comes in part, it's initiated by the functioning of our brain. And so therefore, we cannot just go and hear a good Bible sermon or something and say, yeah, from now on I'm going to do this. Well, you also have to think about to establish a solid anatomical, physiological foundation in the brain so that we can take it in and then exercise that.
In other words, if we have not nourished the prefrontal cortex of our or the frontal lobe of our brain, if we have not nourished that, and the way we not nourish that is to clog up the blood supply, the oxygen supply, that these feelings of altruism, these feelings of kindness and compassion will suffer, because we've really diminished the capacity of our brains to have those emotions, to feel those ways, to be driven
right.
by that. This
right.
is amazing, because a lot of people say, okay, I want to understand God better, so I'm going to go to church. Well, bless your heart, that's a good way of understanding God better. But unless you change the habits in your life that are keeping that part of the brain from being healthy, you will never reach as far as you want to and as you need to, even if you go to church. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Deal?
Mm. That's right. Yeah. You know, I have worked in live-in centers where people go for 4 weeks, and they are now exposed to a very simple diet. You know, diet consisting of fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes, maybe a few nuts, you know, these kind of things. And they're now surrounded by an environment where exercise, walking becomes part of their lifestyle. No more smoking, and the blood vessels begin to open up. And usually after about 2 or 3 weeks, they always talk to me and they say, you know, I don't know, something is happening to my brain. The fog is lifting, they say. You know, I cannot measure this scientifically. I wish I could. But they always talk about this. And it's not one person here and then another one there. No, it's the majority of people after about 3 weeks say, I don't understand what's happening to me. I feel there's a sense of hope coming into my life, that I can do it. I can lose my weight. I can do something about my blood pressure that's coming down. My diabetes, I used to be on 85 units of insulin. Now it's down to 15 units. I feel hopeful, and the fog is lifting. My mind is clearer, and I'm becoming, is it possible I'm becoming sort of a kinder person? I said, yes. You're nurturing your frontal lobe. You are affecting the seat of all of our where actions are being initiated, right? I mean, the body is just a supportive structure to the brain. And what the brain tells us to do, that's what the rest of the body is going to do as long as the body is kept in fairly good shape, right?
Right,
so why it's so important not only to take care of the body, but to take care of the center of action where actions are initiated, and that's our brain. And so our topic today is a very powerful one, and that's why I think anyone that smokes should really, really think about that twice, because nothing contracts these blood vessels more than that puff of nicotine. So we're not just talking about food. Well, now we're talking about smoking, which reduces the oxygen in our bloodstream. We need to talk about the importance of exercise, because that brings oxygen more into circulation, right? Yes. And we need to think about, being a kinder, more giving person, because that relaxes the blood vessels too. Stress contracts, brings his blood vessels tighter together. We need to open them up and, you know, enjoy that sunset. You know, see that red rose that's in full bloom. You know, notice that your wife has perhaps a new dress and say, honey, my, you look gorgeous. You've been married for 40 years. And she's shocked. She falls off her chair when you say that. You know, I mean, we need to we need to become more cognizant of affirming other people, because this comes out of the brain. It's initiated there, but it also goes back to the brain and reinforces. And now we develop new habit patterns in our brain. These neurological pathways in the brain become larger and larger and larger. And after a while, it becomes sort of a more natural habit. We are now on the highway, on the freeway, and we're going into a more automatic response, which is wonderful, because now we have established, or we're beginning to establish, more healthy habits of good, clean, clear thinking that is affirming other people and becomes a way of life after a while. And boy, everybody loves to be around you then, you see?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I got to say, Dr. Deal, I know about you and your wife. You've been married a long time. And folks, these guys are like teenagers. You know what I'm saying? These people are all over themselves, and they've been married a long time. So this works. He is talking about something he knows very much about. So I just recommend that you follow what he says. Well, Dr. Deal, we have a break coming up here in about a minute. And when we get back, I want to ask you, if there are there some Bible illustrations of what you're talking about where people said, okay, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to go back to the original diet that God had for us. Is it in the Bible anywhere? Let's find out on our return. I want to remind you also of Dr. Deal's website. That's www.chiphealth.org. Check it out. www.chiphealth.org. I recommend the Coronary Health Improvement Project to anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now. You too can really enjoy the change that comes about in a life and in their ability to think and reason, and your ability to return God's love back to Him, and to love yourself and to love your spouse and your family. It all comes when you start feeding the brain correctly. And that's not found in a bottle. It's not found in a pill. It's found at your grocery store, as well as some exercise programs and some positive thoughts. We'll be back with Dr. Deal. If you have any questions and comments, now's the time to call 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I was lucky growing up. I had a strong family and support system to tell me that I could be somebody, that I could do something important after high school. But as I got ready to graduate, I thought, what about other kids who don't have that kind of support? Hi, I'm Regina Grant. I'm 19 years old and a member of the Omaha Nation. I decided to start a mentoring program for Native students. We help kids see that a college education is something they can achieve and be successful in. We also teach them about their Native heritage and where they come from. The young people who volunteer to be mentors in our program commit just 1 hour a week of their time. It's not much time, but it really makes a difference. Couldn't you find 1 hour a week to volunteer in something you believe in? So many people in every community need our help. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Hans Deal, founder director of the Coronary Health Improvement Project, better known as CHIP. And again, his website is www.chiphealth.org. Check it out. Dr. Deal, the Bible. Does the Bible contain, we hear about health studies all the time from the NIH and from this organization, that organization. Does the Bible contain any health studies that we should know about?
Yeah, I think, I'm glad you mentioned that before the break, so I had a little time to think about this. You know, I'm thinking about the story in the book of Daniel. You know, this book was written about 600 B.C., and it talks about the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian Empire was really at its highest peak then, and their king Nebuchadnezzar swooped down to Jerusalem and conquered the city and took the Jewish people into captivity. And among these people were also some royal princes. And the book of Daniel in the first chapter talks about these four young princes. They were apparently, they captured the imagination of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very erudite monarch, and he understood something about anthropology, and he wanted to introduce these captives to the Babylonian culture. And what he did, he sent them to the royal College of Harvard at Babylon, and he introduced them to the Babylonian thinking, mm-hmm. to the culture, and one more thing, he introduced them to Babylonian foods. Now, that was very, very different. Now, in those days, people believed that the food made the king. They talked about brain foods. I mean, you eat at the king's table, and then you are going to be thinking like the king. And so the king saw the intelligence of these Jewish young princes, and he wanted to bring them onto his team. and to remake them into his thinking. And so he invited them not only to the Royal College of Harvard at Babylon, but he also let them sit at the royal table. He was going to make them part of his inner circle, right, to govern these captives there better. And somehow these Jewish princes in captivity, when approached to eat at the royal table, approached the royal supervisor and said, look, we are here, we appreciate being invited to the royal table, but, we would like to have just some very simple foods. We're not used to these rich dainties that are being served here. We don't need the best of all the wines. We don't need the steaks here and the ice cream or whatever they had in those days. Just give us a very simple food like vegetables and water to drink. And, you know, the royal supervisor was aghast, and he said, if I do this, Nebuchadnezzar's going to have my head. I mean, he's going to chop my head off because he wants you to become intelligent. He wants you to believe that you become like he believes he is, and that has to do with you have to eat the royal foods. Well, there was Daniel and his three friends, and, these royal princes they said, now look, Nebuchadnezzar is out of the country. He's on one of these military campaigns. Why don't you just give us a 10-day trial? I mean, nobody's going to will know, and you can watch us for 10 days, and you can watch us versus all the others that are on the king's program. And, if we're really looking, worse, if we don't function very well, we can then renegotiate. Won't you do us this favor? Now, this supervisor apparently found these four young men rather amiable people, and you say, oh, well, yeah, I guess you got a point. 10 days won't hurt me. And so they did. So for 10 days, they ate very simple foods, and they drank a lot of water. And after 10 days, when the test came, everybody was amazed because they had clearer thinking. And, 3 days, 3 years, so they stayed on the program. And after 3 years, when Nebuchadnezzar called everybody in for the national board examination, all these that were on the royal food program and those four Hebrews, I mean, he was absolutely amazed because the Bible at least says they were 10 times wiser, smarter, and he brought them into his inner circle in the cabinet. So somehow the food that they were eating and their belief system apparently had some influence on their thinking and how to measure up to the test that would come later on in their lives. And the Bible story there in Daniel talks about a test of loyalty. There was the story of the lion's den. There was a story about these Hebrews being thrown into a fiery furnace and all these kind of things, and they came out alive. All of these kind of things shows that these young Hebrews had clear minds, and they had a loyalty to their own value system that stood them very, very well. And, the story is told that Daniel served three kings in succession. After Nebuchadnezzar came another king, and then came a Persian conquering king. And he was the main counselor to all these three kings. And these are historic type of things. This is not just some makeup story. There's something really powerful here suggesting that how we eat may also have a powerful influence on how we think and the kind of loyalty and integrity that we bring to our lives.
That is an incredible story, and every time I read that, two things stick out into my mind. Number one, God felt it was important enough to include it in the Bible, so he is trying to tell us something by that story. And number two, a lot of people think, well, God allowed people to eat meat after the flood, so it must be okay to eat meat. But apparently, there was a group of people who understood that God was bowing to forces that probably complaining and whining people after the flood, as opposed to what's best for humanity. There have always been a group of people who have stuck with what I call the Eden diet. the diet that God put in place for us from the very beginning. And here, and every once in a while we see them pop up. And here is an example of that in the Babylonian captivity. Here are people who are still maintaining that Eden diet. And Dr. Deal, I think that the Coronary Health Improvement Project, one of its main messages is that we might want to be moving back in that direction toward that diet. Am I right in saying that?
Well, all the scientific evidence when it comes to heart disease and hypertension and strokes and cancer points towards the importance of simplifying our diet. Everybody in the scientific community says that we should eat more vegetables and more fruits and drink more water and have more fiber in our diet and to cut back on animal products and these refined processed foods. I mean, it seems to be a mantra nowadays. It's just that nobody really wants to do it because we're so seduced by these slickly packaged food items and we're being sold on the idea that we need to have convenience foods. We don't have time to prepare food anymore. But, you know, we need to make that a priority, and it's not that hard. We have 50,000 people in our CHIP program. They think it's a wonderful way to live, and, you know, they cut their food bill in half after about 2 or 3 months. They said, why doesn't anybody help us to understand this and teach us that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, folks, bottom line, here we go. If you want to improve the power of your brain, you need to improve the health of your body because the two of them just go hand in hand. And the Coronary Health Improvement Project is one of those tools that God is using. I firmly believe this, that God is using to bring healing to the mind and body of people in this world today. And I just invite you, listener, to be real serious about what you put into your body, to take that smoking out of your household and take all the foods that are full of fat and sugars and salts, and bring those down to just a little minimum, like they did with cheese after the Second World War in Germany. Just a little every once in a while. If you want to have a taste of cheese, nibble. But, you know, gorge yourself on the fruits and the vegetables and all the good things that God has in mind for us. And you know what? If you're like me, listener, there's going to come a time when you're going to say to yourself, why would I want to put anything in any amounts that are bad for me in my body? I've gotten there, and I'm so glad that Dr. Deal and people like him are helping us along that journey. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for being with us today. Wonderful words of wisdom from you, and we really appreciate you. Thank you so much, Dr. Deal.
Thank you.
And listener, once again, the website for Dr. Deal and the organization CHIP is www.chiphealth.org. And there's links there to Dr. Deal's other websites as well, where you can find resources to help you along that journey. Also, I'll remind you of the resource of this program, Simple Solutions, www.comeandreason.com. There you'll hear Dr. Jennings give his presentations and also his blog, program archives, resources, his book, Could It Be This Simple? And if you're a Facebooker, check it out. Both the Coronary Health Improvement Project and Common Reason are also on Facebook. So become a fan and join us as we get good information that helps us mind, body, and spirit. Until next week, this is Charles Mills saying you need to start applying some simple solutions. And you can start doing it today. The ones that Dr. Deal brought to us, start applying those in your life today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.